Welcome back to the program. Great to have your company. And we have Peter Bell in the studio, the general manager of football down there at the Freo Dockers. Mate, and I'll tell you what, you've got a giant black cat down your neck of the woods. We need to find the cat. We need to start hunting because your club's been decimated with injuries.
Yeah, it was a tough one. Obviously, first of all, losing Griffin Logue in that big collision with Aaron Norton. I thought it was really courageous from Griff. We know that Norton really launches at the footy, and he would have been coming hard at the contest, and Griff went back with the flight and unfortunately got a pretty heavy knock. So when he was out with concussion, and then early in the fourth quarter, we lose three players in the blinking of an eye. Hardly ideal.
Unbelievable. And towards the end of the game, another really hard clash between two of your players, Schultz and Walters as well. There was a bit of contact there, and I thought, oh no, Michael Walters is going to go down now. You would have seen that one. That was close to being another really difficult situation to deal with.
Yeah, there was definitely a bit of talk in the coach's box about what might have happened there to Sonny Walters. Thankfully, he was okay afterwards. But it was a pretty big collision. We know that happens in AFL footy, and Sonny put himself in a pretty dangerous position as well. But thankfully, he's okay.
So let's go through them one at a time. Let's start with Griffin Logue. How is he? How's he pulled up? And what's the likely prognosis for him? Is it just going to be a concussion week?
Well, you never know. So he will miss this week against the Gold Coast. Absolutely, as part of the concussion protocols. I had a quick chat to Griff after the game, and look, he was a little bit groggy, which is not unusual in the circumstances, but he said he's never been concussed before in any football as well, so this was all new to him. We're hopeful that it'll be just the game against Gold Coast that he misses. Clearly, after that, we've got a bye as well, so that helps just in his recovery, but sort of out of our hands now. It's just how Griffin recovers, but we're quite positive that he'll be available for the game after Gold Coast, which will be Collingwood.
Sean Darcy wasn't happy. He got the... And it looked like he already had bruises on the back of the leg that he's done the damage to, but he was angry. He punches the bench as he was informed that he's not playing any further part in the game.
Yeah, he is quite demonstrative at times because he loves being out there. He loves competing hard. And I think everyone would recognise that he's had a brilliant year and he was having a really good game as well. Obviously, Stephen Martin had been subbed out for the Bulldogs, so Sean was really asserting his... competitiveness on the contest. So really disappointed that he was out for the last bit of the game, and that's why he would have been reacting that way.
What can you tell us about Nathan Fyfe? His shoulder looked dislocated, got it back in, but the scan results, are they in?
No, look, unfortunately I don't have all the scan results yet. Don't worry, my phone's running hot from everybody at the moment, but we'll let them go about their business, and then they write the reports and the information filters through the club doctors, and then it comes to me, and then I send it out to the people that need to know. We'll have all the information as soon as possible, most likely tomorrow. With Nathan, yeah, you're right, he dislocated his shoulder going back with the flight as well, another courageous act. It went back in reasonably easily and quickly. He's a seriously tough footballer, and I don't say that lightly because the word tough gets thrown around a lot, and everyone sees Nathan for the brilliant contested ball winner that he is and the aerialist that he is, but I don't think I've really come across a guy who's as tough as him where he puts his body regularly. We'll wait and see what it means for him and how much footy he's going to miss, but you'd have to say he's unlikely this week.
The doctors, they would play around with it to see if it is loose, or sometimes if it's not loose you can just push through the pain. What did they say after the game in regards to that?
Yeah, they said he was lacking quite a bit of power, which is also not unusual. I think he pulled up reasonably well in the circumstances, so we've just got to assess the damage now, Hayes, and just see how he progresses over the next few days.
Brennan Cox, I didn't see that one. How did he do his hamstring? And that one didn't look like a good one.
No, when you're lying on the ground afterwards and you're struggling to walk, you'd suggest that that's more high grade, and it was a mechanism where we think potentially there might be a hamstring tendon damage, which is nasty, and certainly that's the mechanism where that would be more likely. I don't want to jump the gun there, and we're hoping for the best, but given the way that he sort of walked off the ground and needed assistance, we're not optimistic there with Brennan, and he's likely to miss a bit of footy.
Mitch Croden also looked like he got a stinger. Is that the case? Was it only a stinger, or is it worse than that?
Stinger at this stage, but it's hard to believe, isn't it? Just in one of the last contests of the game, it just landed on the, when he took the mark, kicked the goal, but just landed on the ground awkwardly and was a bit sore afterwards.
So is there anyone that's not having scans this week, Pete?
I'm okay.
Because there's some
Alex
more.
Pierce, yeah. Of course, he didn't play, and he was the likely replacement to come in and help you out down back.
Alex Roberts played really well down at Peel. He landed awkwardly on his wrist in a contest late in the game, so we've sent him off for some, we'll say, precautionary scans, but you never know what they're going to uncover. But we're quietly optimistic. We just have to wait and see. Alex has been going really well, and you'd think with the injuries that we have had that he would have been right in the frame, but we've got to wait and see now.
Now, I've got to ask you, Nathan Wilson's been offered a week for the low blow. What are you likely to do here?
It'll be in the hands of our legal representation, and we'll have to obviously speak with Nathan as well. I guess he was in a bit of an exposed position there on the ground with Waitman standing over the top of him. I don't think he would have intentionally meant to strike Cody where he got him, but you leave yourself in a bit of a risky situation if you start throwing your arms around in that situation. So it might come down to, was it intentional or was it careless? We'll get the legal advice and talk to Nathan about what he would like to do. But I am really confident in saying that wasn't his intent to strike Cody Waitman in the groin area.
It was a bad timing, if I say careless, in that point of the match, because you're right in the game right then too.
Yeah, it was, and Nathan would be really disappointed that he's given away that 50-metre penalty, which takes a marginal shot at goal from around 45-50 to an absolute gimme, and it was at a crucial stage, so he'd be disappointed in that.
Hindsight's a wonderful thing. Mid-season draft we just had, it would have been nice to have one rocking up today as a bit of a help or a solution.
Yeah, we looked at that, Hayes, and look, it would have been quite a discussion point, I suppose, but where we're at, there is a lot of shared intel that you get when you go to the draft, particularly the mid-season where there aren't a huge number of selections, and we were 100% confident that the players that we were interested in that would have justified the investment in the mid-season draft wouldn't have been available at our pick, and that turned out to be exactly the case. There are other factors as well, including the possibility that some of our players who are long-term injured, once you move them onto the long-term injury list, then they're out for the season, and we wanted to leave that open as well, potentially. So a number of different factors, but we decided to pass in the mid-season draft, and that's the situation.
Do you think many of those players will play this year, or do you think it's clubs getting in ahead of the next draft?
Oh, one or two will definitely play. I think a player like Matty Parker's ready to go, isn't he?
And
West has been putting together a really good body of work and played well on the weekend, I understand. But then you also look at the number of 203, 205 centimetre ruckmen who are playing NAB League or in other leagues, and you think that they're players for the future. Most of them, one or two might be sneaking in a game in the latter part of the year, but generally speaking, when you're taking guys of that height, they take a bit of time.
So, let's look at the Fremantle defensive post in key positions this coming week. Right now, when I had a look at your team earlier today, I don't think, other than Lloyd Meek, and I had Alex Pearce in the equation. Now, if he goes out of the equation, then it's probably going to be Toby Watson's going to be your tallest defender, because Ethan Hughes ain't coming back this week. Joel Hamling's probably not coming back for the rest of the year. Who else is available?
Yeah, well, you've mentioned it? The names. Yeah, so Luke Ryan has shown an ability to play tall last year. We asked him to do that on many occasions, and he acquitted himself to an All-Australian level, so we know that he can play tall. Gold Coast aren't particularly tall at the moment, although given their last game, well, they're going to come off a 14-day break and we'll be off the 6-day break, so they've come off a bye, so it's hard to actually know exactly where some of their players are, the returning players, but look, we know that Toby can play taller, Taylan Duman can play taller. And look, if Alex Pearce is available, he'd be right in the frame as well, clearly.
Hey, Belly, in the past, Fremantle's copped a hard time about some of their recruiting. I want to go back to the 2016 draft. Tim English was the big boom player from Western Australia. You overlook him. You go Griffin Logue, you get him at 8, and I think we can all see a really good player if he gets a good run at it. But because you don't get a ruckman, you go and get another one at 38 in Sean Darcy. And I think you put those two players together right now, there's not much between English and also Darcy. You mentioned it before. He's playing some great footy and doing some Nat Nui-like things with his taps. And then pick 41, you get Brennan Cox. Looking back, it's an outstanding draft.
It is. It is a really good draft, and full credit to the team for their selections. And there's a lot of improvement in those players as well, notwithstanding in the short term, they're both going to be missing a bit of football. But it can't be lost also that for young rucks, it takes them a while. I just spoke about the mid-season draft selections, but Sean Darcy's not yet 23, and he's got a lot of improvement, but we've really loved the way that he's played this year, and we think the future's really exciting for Sean, and our young midfield, of course. So with Brayshaw, Chera, Sarong and Darcy, the four of those, hopefully they're playing a lot of footy together in the future.
And you mentioned the demonstrative actions that he showed. I think that's fantastic, because there was a time early in his career he'd cop an injury and he would go off, but for him to really want to get back out there, I think that's a positive.
Yeah, I love the passion that he shows. I love how hard he's worked on his conditioning this year, and with that come the rewards, and hopefully he's back out there shortly.
Equal highest goal-kicking ruckman with Gawn and Grundy, and if you measure up his stats, he measures up very favourably, so he's been remarkably good. When it comes to your front half, you would have been disappointing with the goal-kicking. A couple of your boys are going to feature in my top seven worst goal-kickers for this round of footy, because there was a lot of them, Belly. A lot of them play for other teams too, but are you concerned about the number of shots that you're having? For example, I like to use this one, the flat-bellied 15-metre snap around the body from Lobby on the weekend that missed everything. It had me I got angry, because I used to pride myself on going back. You and I even went down and we had a kicking session at Subiaco Oval where we didn't get too many lessons from the expert, because we were doing all right that day, but we were kicking what I would call proper drop punts. And blokes these days seem to have a license, which I don't really like.
It is their preference, the snap, most players. And we back them in because we know that that's what they train and practice at training. Rory's actually really good at that kick. He kicked a really good one on the run earlier in the third quarter from memory.
Yep.
So look, he'd be disappointed that he got the belly of the ball there and caught the wrong side, but he's pretty good at that one. On the one hand, before the weekend, I haven't sort of process those stats into the season sort of thing, I'm really pleased at the number of shots we're getting at goal. That's been a real improvement and a focus area over the off-season. We need to be better in converting that. That's stating the obvious. But the positive is we're actually getting the ball in there. We need to be better at converting. Our accuracy needs to improve.
Is it improving the game, though? They're around the body. I know it's their preference, but if you look at the stats, and I believe there's still some clouded judgment when they get the ball. Do I go around the body? Do I kick it straight? Am I only practicing 50% of the time with one, where it used to be 100% of the time we would practice the straight kick? Do you think it's in to stay, or do you think there will come a time where a coach says, no, you go and do this, because over time it's been proven to be better, potentially?
Yeah, not sure. I think it is here to stay, the snap across the body. But it comes down to personal preference. But you're absolutely right. Whatever your preference is, practice that all the time and make sure that you're putting in the time and don't mix between the two. So go in with a game plan, practice it, routine, all those sorts of things, Hose.
Will it get to a point where a player has to tell the coach exactly from what position on the ground he is going to kick for goal to get rid of that judgment call?
You would expect that the players know that when they're going into matches, from which parts of the ground I'm going to snap kick the ball and where I'm going to do a drop punt. I would expect that all players would know that. They don't just make it up as they go along, and or what they're feeling at a particular time.
Not sure if you went on Saturday night, dream time at the O.
I didn't
Fantastic.
Know. At the O.
What about the club taking this concept forward and continuing it on next year? Dream time, talk to the AFL and get approval for that to make this an annual event here in Perth.
Look, it was received really well. There's a lot that goes into those marquee games, and the teams that have those slots protect them pretty fiercely. It's not my area of specialty. I'll leave that to other areas.
Could we have
of the
two,
club.
Though?
Look, I think so. I think that clearly there's an appetite for it here in Perth, so I think yes, but that's out of my hands, and smarter people than me will make those decisions.
Tabana?
He was really, really close. In fact, he trained well on Saturday, and we're thinking absolutely he'd be fine to go Sunday, and then he just pulled up a little bit sore, which also is not unusual coming back from that type of injury on Sunday, so we went a really conservative route with Matt.
So this week?
Hope so.
Probably has
trains.
To. Have you got enough players?
We've got enough players, and that's.
Are you getting close?
Look, no, we've got enough players, and okay. It's really positive that we'll get to expose some younger players in the short term and through the second half of this year, not just younger players, and we'll see the players who want to make the best of that opportunity and the players who really want to help fight our way through this short-term challenge.
Some have suggested you should just put the queue in the rack, couple of games out of the eight, and just start planning for the future. What's your attitude to that?
That's not in our thinking at all. We're going in to win every single game that we can.
Luke Valenti, Joel Weston, a couple of youngsters that are starting to put together a body of work.
Yeah, Joel's been really consistent as a half forward, little stints in the midfield as well. We know that he's exceptionally quick. He's like all young players, he's got some areas of his game that he would want to improve in, and we're helping him do that, but there's a lot to like. Luke Valenti played a really solid game on the weekend, and I thought our two young halfbacks at Peel also played well in Brandon Walker and Nathan O'Driscoll, so really liking what they're doing. They need to continue to work hard and press their claims.
I mentioned the draft earlier. You nailed it, rookie draft pick last year, and I think you guys saw it through the pre-season. I think all the experts didn't probably see it until on the weekend. That was Josh Tracy with his three goals. He hits it hard, he doesn't miss too often, which you need a player like that. He looks like he could be the forward you've been looking for.
Yeah, we really like the way that he competes. I was talking to someone over the weekend who made mention he only misses eligibility for this year's draft by a couple of months. He's only 18, so for what he's doing as a key forward as an 18-year-old, it's really promising. He's got a great attitude. He just wants to get better. He's very popular down at the club. So with that grounding, we think that he's a player who will continue to improve and develop, and really liked the way he went about it on the weekend and got a little bit of a reward.
Yeah, no, he was good. And look forward to seeing him play more games. He's going to have to now. So that'll be good. Thanks for coming in.
No problems. Always nice to see you guys.
Good on you. Peter Bell here in our studio, the general manager of football operations down there at...